Are you ready now? Be my queen, just take your love. All you need, but to you. Anything you want, my girl. Anywhere you want, my love. Hello, listeners to the Wine and Uncorked Chronicles podcast. This is your host, Sylvie. And today I am joined by guest number two to the podcast. And I'm going to let the person introduce herself. But basically, this is somebody who is, I would say, a friend, family. And I'll let them get into this. But I'm very excited to do this episode. It's been a long time coming. I think that there's going to be a lot of interesting stories to share, a lot of experiences, funny, obviously also deep, I would say. And yeah, I'm just really looking forward to doing this with you. So welcome, Kristin. Please state your name, age, for the record, for the listeners.
Age, occupation.
Exactly. Zodiac sign. Height, please, all of them, not in that order.
The whole bio.
We need the whole bio, man. This is a marketing gimmick.
Okay, so my name is Kristin. I am 32 years old. I am also you heard? Sylvie's cousin. And for all those listeners out there, I'm also very single, so holla at your girl. And I'm just joking.
People, no. Let's just pause there. That was a very, very crucial part of your introduction. So guys, I'm going to be taking tenders, applications, 32, beautiful, you know, entrepreneur. She's going to get into that. 5'5", guys, you know what I mean? Petite. You know, slim, thick, right around the perfect edges. So anyone who wants to apply, please go to my email. It's on my Instagram. Reach out to me and I'll start doing
these. Oh, my God. That's funny. In Kenya, they say 1 GB, 2 GB, I don't know what.
Exactly.
To kind of describe, people get an idea of your body type. And
exactly.
Like that. But anyway, that's a different thing. Yeah.
She's on a 6 GB. You know what I mean? It doesn't even exist yet. So holla. Holla at your girl.
6 GB is like really, really big, queen. It's the other way. Sorry,
Sylvie. Oh, shit. Oh, she's on 300 megabytes, guys.
Okay, that has quickly gone off the rails.
Okay, sorry.
Really quickly.
Here we are. This is how you know there's going to be some great conversations. Kristin, please go ahead.
Yeah. So my name is Kristin, 32 years old. I'm Sylvie's older cousin by just a bit. And I'm also a business owner. And what else? An older sibling.
Yes.
A daughter. A friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I have many. I have many titles. As far as this podcast is concerned, I think it goes cousin, friend, sister. Those are the ones that apply, and business
exactly.
Partner.
There we are. Yeah. Yes. So, Kristin, thank you very much for the brief introduction. So let's talk about the origin story of the business that we run together. Well, you run, and I sit and watch most of the time. But Let's talk a bit about the entrepreneur side of things, and then we'll go a bit deeper into the cousin parts and take a walk down memory lane. So over to you.
Okay. Well, it's so apt that your podcast is called A Wine and Uncorked Chronicles, and it talks about adventures and, you know, paths unknown, because entrepreneurship is definitely a path that is unknown for everybody. It looks different for everybody. So the business that we co-own is called Nine Daughters Skincare and Cosmetics.
Mm-hmm.
We started it in the height of COVID. And we started it because it came off the back of a research project, which I was doing on behalf of an acquaintance of Sylvie's at that time. And the research was into the beauty space in Kenya specifically. And so we did research for that for about 6 months, give or take, something like that. And then from there, we started reaching out. This same acquaintance linked us to suppliers. And then from there, we had a lot of conversations back and forth about the business and what we wanted, what it was supposed to look like, what exactly, yes, you want to do beauty, but a lot of people are doing beauty. What's so special about the kind of beauty that you want to do? What's going to make you stand out? And so we settled on doing organic, which is very niche. So organic vegan beauty. And just
you forgot
for the
cruelty
listeners
free.
Out there, just so you know. Yeah, cruelty-free, vegan, organic, natural. But just for the listeners out there, just so you know, there's a difference between when somebody says something is organic, it does mean that it's natural, but natural does not automatically translate into organic. So organic means that the way the plants are grown, which go into the making of your product, whatever it may be, is without pesticides and so on and so forth. So for us, it's natural, organic, vegan, cruelty-free beauty. We decided on settling on that niche. Once we had decided to settle on that niche, we had a lot of interactions with different partners. So I don't know if you remember this, when we were getting a lot of like sample boxes.
Oh, the sample part.
Christmas was coming like every like 2-3 months, we'd get this huge shipment of free samples. It was great. You know,
fun fact,
who doesn't like free stuff?
Yeah, I still have the foundation I have is still from the Paese samples that we got. Can you believe it? I still have it. It's anyway. So, guys, samples galore.
Even Abby has. And I love that formulation so much. Like,
it's
so bad. That didn't work out.
We missed out.
But it was such a great, honestly, such a great product, especially for people who don't necessarily like heavy foundation. It really works really well. Anyway, so it was Christmas, every few couple of months, Christmas was coming early. And of course, because these are samples and you're not allowed to sell them, so we were giving them out for free to our friends and acquaintances and things like that. But the reason we're doing that is because we were trying to collect data. So in exchange for people getting free samples and free products that they could test out and use, they would have to provide us with certain data, which also helped us wriggle down our options as part of partners. And yes, then that is how we started going, the business now started really taking shape and form. Then we got to the part of what are we going to name ourselves? And this area, I have to give credit to Sylvie, because she's the one who really came up with the name, because we were going back and forth with the third business partner, being like, what are we going to call this thing? So many ideas were put up there. And then one day Sylvie is just like on the group chat, she's like, why don't we just call it like Nine Daughters? And then she explained what it is, her reasoning behind it, and it made a lot of sense. So for those who are not familiar with the law, in Kenya, we have a tribe, an ethnicity called Kikuyus. And the origin story, let me put it that way, or our creation story really is that Agikuyu, being the man, and Mombi, being the woman, had 9 daughters. And those from which now the tribe of the ethnicity called Kikuyu grew from. That is our, that's a watered down version, but basically that's what it is. That is where the Kikuyu grew from.
Yeah, it's the folklore. It's kind of the myth around how our tribe kind of became what it is today. And, we started from Agikuyu and Mombi, and then Mombi had 9 daughters, and that's kind of where it came from. It's very interesting because when I did more research on that, I also found out that there's Greek mythology about 9 daughters, some Scandinavian mythology around 9 daughters. So I think it was really nice how it all gelled together. And of course, we are daughters, and maybe you can explain how kind of like our logo represents that too, and what we were trying to do with skincare, right? And cosmetics too.
So... okay, so once we settled on the name 9 Daughters, now it was about the logo. In fact, that was the, I think that was like the hardest part to just coming up with like what logo are we going to come up with that would represent who we are and what we want to stand for. But basically, you know, if when you go to our socials or our website or anything like that, and you see the logo, it has a nine, which has different shades. And that really tries to, we hope that this logo imparts to the viewer that in the house of nine daughters, there's something for everybody. And that's why, you know, we say, when we talk to clients, we tell people, you know, if you can imagine if you're nine daughters, there's no way all of you have the same skin color, skin issues, concerns. You know, some people have acne, some people have eczema, some people just are okay. Some people, you know, have very fair skin tone. Even in our own family,
we have people, you see that,
you know, just looking in our, you know, just as our own, you know, extended family.
Exactly.
You
can see
there are people who are very fair. There are people who are quite dark. You have people who are in the middle. You have people who have the issues with acne. You have people who have issues with eczema. You have people who are in the middle again who don't have any problematic skin. So it was really to, you know, the logo is kind of, you know, to give people the idea that in the house of nine daughters, there's something for everybody, that we're going to try and give, make sure that we have something for everybody. We're not going to be, we're going to try as much as we possibly can to be as inclusive as we possibly can with the ethos of what we want to do, which is trying to be, you know, natural, organic, cruelty, vegan, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and also, so, you know, for women of color, I think that was also something that we were very passionate about, you know, being able to represent, or rather addressing skincare needs for people of color, right, across the whole color spectrum. And I remember you... I remember the rabbit hole that you went into when you started doing the research, and you were telling me how you were up until this time watching the, you know, people talk about how we can't just use skincare that, you know, the videos by Dr. I forget her name, but anyway, you know, and how we were talking about that skincare, it's not just a blanket. Exactly. It's not a one size fits all solution, because this the kind of skincare you would give to, for example, people in the Caucasian spectrum, or like people who are less melanated than, you know, Africans, Asians, you know, people are from, just people who generally have more melanin in their skin. It was such a big revelation. And I think that I like how you kind of steered that conversation towards, we need to ensure that the products we're bringing in are made for the women of color, and especially, represents the needs. Exactly.
That is our primary, our primary market is women of color, Kenyan women from all sorts of different walk of life. And so, yes, that's true. That was also a very, very big determining factor on who we decided to partner with. And that's why we did a lot of market research in terms of giving away free samples to our friends and acquaintances and things like that, to get their feedback in terms of, did this work for you? What did you think about this? You know, if would you buy this product if we sold it at, say, X amount? Or how much would you buy this product for? So it was it was a very informative period. And it was very... It was crazy in terms of coordinating different things, but it was also really, you know, it was kind of like seeing something kind of grow, you know. You're looking at it growing slowly, slowly. You're seeing this thing take shape, and at the beginning, you don't even know what that shape is yet. But you're kind of seeing some edges are starting to form, and you know, some vagueness, but you can see there's something there, but you can't quite tell what it is. But it was a very exciting time. And then from there, we started now. We did research for about 2 years before we actually started selling any products. And which I think was really important. And then, then we started selling in, this is the third year we're doing it.
So this is our third year.
2022 is when we started.
Towards the end of 2020.
We got our first shipment in the beginning of 2022, because last year was 22. Then last year was 23. This year is 24. So this is our third year.
It feels like all the timelines have just merged. It's been, and for me, the timelines have merged into one. 2020 just made it one thing. Like for me, I'm still in, I'm still in 2020. I can't believe we're 4 years into this decade already. And
I know.
So much has happened. And so anyway,
everything
back to it.
Pre-COVID, post-COVID. Like, that's post-COVID. How you see things right now. It's pre
exactly.
and post.
And yeah. post. And I remember, yeah, this journey was, it was very interesting. And I think it's very... I think our story is quite beautiful. I think even the story of how we came up with the name and the fact that we really put a lot of time, we invested in research. Our other business partner, who is, I would say, the more financially, let's say, aware person and kind of knows how things work when it comes to, okay, so yeah. what are our sales looking like?
The numbers guy.
The numbers guy, indeed. Excel sheets guy. I like to call him the Excel sheets guy, and I think I often tease him about it. But
finance bro. Please tell me, if he has a gilet, that would be crazy. That would be
so
funny.
Oh my god, he has one. And it's from the company he works from. If you're listening to this, you know who you are, yeah? Just take this as a dig, because literally... he's anyway, guys, we digress. We don't want to go off on too many tangents, otherwise this will be a 4-hour episode.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I like that, you know, the most beautiful part of it is that between the three of us, we all brought in our strengths, right? So finance guy, you were kind of like the person who was getting things going, you know, doing the ops, doing the market research, really going back, you know, door to door to different skincare parlors and places, giving our samples, or rather trying to find out what does the market look like for these kind of products, where do they get them from. And I think that we came to realize that the market is very the product, first of all, it's like a monopoly as to who actually brings in these products. And I love the fact that we've come in as these underdogs who are now trying to do things quite differently, even in terms of, and one of our biggest kind of angles was, what was the use case? Was like, we're trying to say, we're not just providing you products, but we're also educating you about skincare. Because I think that you can buy skincare and just be like, oh, well, Celine Dion is using it. Oh, Beyonce uses this. Oh, you know, Rihanna uses this. So surely it must work for me, without actually knowing how skincare works and what your skin type is, etc., etc. So,
there was definitely post COVID or through COVID, there was an uptake in people's interest in skincare. And what was also happening, and I know I fell victim to that myself, because, you know, all of a sudden you're seeing all these videos that people are talking about, oh yeah, you guys, by the way, do you know the importance of having a vitamin C serum in your skincare? And you're like, what do you mean? And there I am, I ran, went and bought the 3%. And the worst thing is, like, I did this with my own money. So I go there and I buy 23% vitamin C suspension solution, the one for the ordinary.
Yeah.
I just picked, so I was like, oh, since I know I have to reverse a lot of damage, let me take the highest percentage of vitamin C I can find in the market, and it's going to work quicker and faster, and I'll get results faster. Where lies all propaganda. It doesn't work like that. And so I think around that time, there was a lot of hype and excitement about people using skincare, but on the other hand, there was a lot of misinformation, or rather lack of information about how to properly do some of these things. So I fell victim to it myself. For me, I'm eczema prone, so something like 23% vitamin C, am I mad?
That's also insane.
Completely ruined, dude, my skin barrier.
Dude, you came back scorched earth. Like, I'm sorry. But no, and I think that we both...
It was so bad. And I,
Do you remember? Because even I tried the sample that we got. And we broke out. I broke out like this. My skin said no completely to vitamins. Like, I don't even use it today, because I'm terrified that that'll happen. And I think, my skin is a bit too sensitive to... I've just said no to vitamin C. But I think that you're right. There's just a lot of... lack of information, lack of even wanting to kind of say, okay, well, this might work for this person, but will it work for me? What is my skin type? What does that even mean? And what does that mean in terms of finding the right product for me? Do I need to do a seven-step routine to achieve skincare, like you know, like glass?
Exactly.
Or do I just need to do three simple things?
Yeah.
Always wear your sunscreen, guys. You know what I mean? So I think that you going down this research, not just about like what the market looked like in Kenya, but also what is skincare? What does that mean for the person of color? What does that mean for different skin types? Was also such an education to me, and it gave me a newfound appreciation for what it meant to our business. I must say that was like something that it opened up my eyes to the world of skincare, and my God, it's a rabbit hole. It really is.
It's a never-ending pit. It's like a black hole. You can never reach the bottom of skincare. And then, like right now, if you're a person who is active on TikTok, there are all these new trends that come out. You know, people are using, I don't know, baking soda and scrubbing their face with baking soda. And you're like, oh my God. For me personally, if I was to do that as somebody who is eczema prone, and meaning I have, you know, my skin barrier is, it's very, very sensitive. I have to be careful with it. That would just completely set me back 7,500 years, all the journeys that I've made.
Exactly.
In my skin. It might work for like, and I start looking good like for the first 1 month. And then the next thing I know, I start getting flare-ups. My skin is irritated. It's red. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's just so... So that whole thing of understanding that, okay, yes, everybody's doing this, but is it going to work for you? And also being willing to talk with people. So one of the feedbacks that we get a lot from people who end up buying from us, especially if they meet me or my mom in person, because we go for fairs and exhibitions with her, is that people are like, people ask questions, because you realize people assume that everybody knows these things, and people are actually quite scared to ask a question. Mm-hmm. But when they find somebody who is willing to just have a conversation with them about something that they don't know, they are so grateful. They're like, oh, thank you, man. You know, I didn't realize that was the way I should have been doing it, or I didn't realize what I was doing was wrong, or whatever it is. That really helps. And, you know, even for us, when it gets to a point where somebody tells us something, we're like, that is beyond my scope. I can only give you like advice, but
I'm not a dermatologist.
I'll tell you, and I'll even have a consultation with somebody, and I say, right now, I think where your issue has reached, I think you really need to go and see a doctor, because that seems to be a deeper issue that cannot be fixed or solved using over-the-counter products. You need to go and see a professional who will help you, because it could be an underlying issue, especially for women. It could be an issue like PCOS,
hormones,
or something like that.
Exactly.
You recommend maybe somebody is pregnant and you don't know, they don't know. You know, these kind of things like that. So you get to a point you're like, hey, this thing cannot be disturbing you like that. And you've used this. These are all things that are known to solve this issue. If they are not solving the issue, then you please, instead of wasting more money buying products, just go and see a doctor. In fact, we have turned people away, being like, there's no point of you buying this thing, because if you've bought all these other things and you're not seeing any significant improvement, don't waste your money buying something else that's just going to sit on your shelf. Just go and see a doctor. And then from there you can know. Once they tell you this, and the other, then you can contact us. Here's our number. You can reach back to us and we can talk. But it's been a very interesting journey, very uncharted path, and you know, for me, it has also been challenging, in a challenge to myself, because I've had to be more outgoing. So I've had to really talk to people and not be reserved. I have to be like hi, how are you, blah blah blah, you know, give the sales speech and have a full-blown conversation with people. So that it was, in that sense, it's been really great also for personal development, because it made you not shy. You're like, the worst somebody will tell you is no, you won't die.
Exactly. You know? You're not gonna die. And I think that it's very interesting that you say you kind of have to come out of this shell, like and this is very interesting, because I want to just come, you know, maybe take a step back from talking about the business and come back to like our childhood, because I always, when I I remember, like, obviously I remember the first time I met you. We had just come back from Israel, and I remember seeing you, and I saw you at our Shosho's place. People who are not from Kenya, Shosho means grandmother in Kikuyu, in our mother tongue. So I think we had come back, and you were in Kitisuru, where she lives, in the house. And yeah, that was the first thing I remember. But something I do really remember that stood out was that your confidence, for example, was something that, and your boldness, it stood out to me, because I remember always saying, you know, I kind of always wanted to be a bit like you, you know. And I think when you have a younger sister or a younger cousin, the copying, there's the copying part of growing up, where literally you want to copy everything that your older sibling or your older cousin does, because there's something that's admirable. Yeah. So it's interesting you say that you had to come out of your shell and just be confident, because I promise you, I've never ever viewed you as somebody who's not confident. But you see, that's the thing. Like, people are more than just what you see, right?
Yeah, exactly. On the outside looking in, things look different.
Exactly.
Than, but the inverse, when you're the inside looking out. It's true. And you know, it's good you brought that up, because I have a conversation with my friends all the time about, like, can you remember the moment that you stopped being, you know, confident, that you started, like, holding back? Like, for example, you'd be like, you go somewhere and... I'm just throwing out an example. You go somewhere and something wrong happens, or something irritates you, and instead of you being like, "Hi, you know, excuse me, what are you doing?" You know that kind of thing, where maybe you've gone you're sitting somewhere, let's say in a restaurant or a bar, let's say a bar or a club, and then just randos just come and sit down with you, and you're like, "Yo, when you can't see me here, like,
can you not see?
I'm not part of the fun." The space is taken.
Mm-hmm.
But at what point did we start being more like, "Ah, it's okay, just let them," instead of being like, "Excuse me, I'm sitting here."
Instead of speaking
up. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if somebody cuts you off in a queue, being like, "Excuse me, I was next in line," you know, those kind of things. So we usually ask ourselves, can you remember the moment where something flipped in your head, where you started becoming, like, reluctant to
say something,
kind of speak up?
Yeah. And I think, and that's, it's very funny, because I remember that you were never, ever scared to speak up when we... Do you know, like, I remember it's like, have you seen that video on Instagram where there's that guy who's, like, shouting something, then there's the person behind, you know, that guy who's, like, shaking their head aggressively, you know, standing at the back at a safe distance, but still being there, like, you know? That's how I felt I was. But, you know, I some fond memories, to be honest, there's a lot. And childhood memories from summertime of us coming to Nairobi, because we lived in a different city at the time called Kisumu, and I remember it was like our parents decided, let's just dump all the cousins together, and because we are big family guys, so our moms are sisters, and there's five sisters in total, and all of them bar one have let's say 2.5 kids, let's just say, like, that's the average, right? Or 2 kids, and then there's some who have, like, you and your family are three, and then also our other, you know, three male cousins, but let's say 2.5. And we were all dumped together in the summer, because I think that parents were just like, what are we going to do with our children for 2 months of them just causing problems, getting up to? And so we were all brought together, and the problems were even bigger that we caused. And
those were so fun, though.
No worries about money, no worries about taxes. Yeah. The things you'd worry about is, like, who's gonna be the pink, Power Ranger. Oh, and I was always so annoyed, because you always wanted to be pink, or is it yellow or something? And then I was
yellow. Pink.
Oh yeah, true. But I was always handed the pink role, because I was kind of seen as the soft one, you know, and I was the younger of the group, and I was always given pink, and it was like,
yeah.
And then I always felt like, I don't know, last pigs.
Wait, you wanted to be yellow.
I just wanted to be a bad bee, man. I just wanted to be bad. And I was always given kink. And we would go around the garden jumping and saying, you know, pink ranger, do this, yellow ranger, red, yes, black, pink ranger. White, you know? And we had like sticks to be like our weapons, you know?
Oh my God.
Oh, those are so memories. Hilarious. Yeah, I remember that.
I remember we would play for hours. Like, you know, I'm so grateful that we grew up before all this like tech things.
We are the last of a dying breed. Yes.
We would be outside for hours, like hours, you know, until, you know, the house manager has to be like, you know, I'm going to pinch you if you don't come to the house now. Yeah. It's time for you to enter the house and have a bath and
like
eat your
shower.
Dinner.
You smelly yeah. kids and eat, you know, because we
but
would go
lunchtime. And then doing whatever it is, running
and
playing.
Oh my gosh, dude. Kristen, do you remember the time when we were getting up to all this? And it was the times it was raining because, guys, between June to August, it's rainy, but it's also a bit like damp. And do you remember the safari ants? Oh my God!
Oh yeah.
Do you remember when we went down towards the river and your brother?
And we were attacked. We were under siege.
We were under siege, guys. Those ants. If you don't know what safari ants are, Google them. They're basically like fire ants. And so, of course, they walk in like lines and you don't see them.
Yeah.
So you stop there.
Especially in the grass. You can't see
exactly.
them.
Exactly. You
in
can't
the
see
grass.
Them.
So you literally just can put your foot in a nest.
Exactly. You put your foot
and
in a
wearing
nest.
And you're trousers because it's
and
cold. So your feet are
you
cold.
Don't,
so you
exactly.
don't feel, realize
you don't
are
feel them going
up your legs.
Yeah. You don't feel them going up your legs. And guys, I remember.
Until you just start feeling. What was that?
You start feeling the equivalent of needles. It feels like needles piercing your skin. And when I tell you that it will make a grown man strip naked, it did. It will. It's happened to me. I have been bitten in a part that I'm not going to mention because I am too embarrassed to mention. But when I tell you guys, I stripped down naked. That was the kind of adventures we would get ourselves into. It's fantastic to reminisce on those things, you know. And
oh my God, then we would come screaming, and then the house
screaming.
But we told you not to go outside. There were safari ants. What? But now, of course, you're like, Ebutweni is on go. Meaning, can you remove your clothes now? Because they don't want you to enter
clothes.
The house
yeah.
with
the safari ants and mud.
The safari ants and mud and everything like that. So you're there in the dobby and undressing and they're trying to shake
and you're screaming,
you're
crying
beaten.
Exactly, and you're crying and screaming and you're just like, no, oh, don't tell mom, don't tell our parents, we don't want to get in, because that would have meant another ass whooping. Not only did we get ass whooped from these safari ants, but we know we're gonna get an ass whooping from our parents, like
when the folks are back, you're going to catch hands.
Yeah, you're catching hands, guys.
Told,
it's on site
like,
for you.
We told our Toto, you know, these children, I told them not to go outside, but they decided to go outside. Then they were beaten by safari ants. Because, you know, some of us like would get like welts. So, of course, when your folks come home, they're seeing your body's full of welts and bites.
And they're like, yeah.
Like, what happened to you when you were, you know. But anyway,
exactly.
It was fun. And do you remember Blind Man Buff? Oh my God.
Oh my God. Blinds. So, people, let me set
your
the context.
I hated that game so much.
Because I always ruined the game for everyone. Blinds Man Bluff, guys, is a game. It's Bluff. We used to call it Blind Man Buff because, of course, we're kids and we heard what we wanted to hear. But it's actually called the Blinds Man's Bluff. And so what happens is, and I remember it was one of our aunties who taught us this game, because they were just like, we need to put these kids somewhere so they stop annoying the adults, you know. So we would play in our grandmother's house in the corridor, and we would close all the doors, put off all the lights, so it was basically pitch black in there. And then there's one person, and that person is the blind man, and the rest of us are trying to essentially evade the blind man. And the, because the corridor was quite slim, you could like climb up the corridor, you know, like little spiders. And so we used to do that. And of course, the idea is to like make noises to confuse where the blind man is and basically just try and run away and get away from that. Yeah. Now, yours truly sitting here, for some reason, every time we played that game, I would get injured.
All the time, without
fail. And it was, yeah, and it was supposed to be like we were sleeping over, right? So like we were so happy when we could do sleepovers because they, those were few and far between. And we wouldn't see each other except for holidays. Yeah. So of course, cousin's time was always so fun. And somehow, I think I managed to step on a needle one time or something of the sort.
Really?
And then, yeah. And then I, because Shosho had her sewing machine in the back and I stepped on a needle something. You remember?
And at the end of the corridor.
At the end of the corridor. And then, the waterworks began. The screaming began.
Oh my God.
And the next thing.
Please say it the right way. You would scream at the top of your lungs. And the next thing you know, you just see, her dad just comes. The door is open. What is going on here?
Inyue. Kids. Inyue. Children.
I was going to say that, then I was like, I will not understand. Inyue. What is happening?
What is going
you
on?
Guys,
kids.
Basically, it's like, you guys, you know.
You
what
people.
What's happening?
What are you doing to my daughter?
And her dad then would get so mad. And then that sleepover was cancelled like that.
That those immediately. Yeah, immediately. And my brother will just look at me like, why are you even my sister? You know, like you ruin everything
spoiled
for us.
Sport. Yeah.
You know, sport. I was always, and then because I would go crying and my dad is like, who hurt my baby? You know, who hurt my baby? But yeah, super fun times. And then,
And then, who hurt my baby?
Who hurt my baby?
But I was such a good childhood, I think.
Yeah. No, I think we're so lucky, as you said, that we managed to like, we somehow managed to have the better parts of when, I would say, social media, internet, phones became a thing. Because we used to have the those phones. Remember the Nokia 3310s?
The Nokia.
Exactly. Shout out
everybody's
to Nokia.
Everybody's first phone in Kenya.
Everyone's first phone.
Our generation. Yeah.
Exactly. And like we didn't have internet then. It was for texting and calling. And who even had credit to text and call? You know what I mean?
But credit was expensive back then.
Yeah, dude. So anyway, this is how we grew up, you know. We're millennials and we kind of had the best of still being able to enjoy what childhood means, playing outside, interacting with other children, interacting with your cousins. Yeah, just the value of play in the child, I think in a healthy growth for a child is really important. But anyway, I want us to now go to a bit more of the juicy stuff. So and I think you reminded me of these stories. Now fast forward maybe 20 years or something, or maybe not 20, but like 15 years. And in our 20s, we were.
Well, our 20s now, yeah.
Oh, my guys. When I moved back from the UK after studies, shenanigans began.
Shenanigans.
Guys, I think there's two stories in particular that stick out for me. Do you remember? And actually, let's start chronologically because when I moved back, I remember it can't have been the second weekend of me being back that we already got it ourselves into this, but I really think it was because I can't even. This is when we went for a birthday party. So guys.
Oh yeah. Oh my God.
So.
First of all, the night before we were out. That Friday we had gone out.
So then we went
to Mwoga.
And we went to Mwoga. My parents live in the middle of nowhere, guys. but you know what's really funny? What's really funny, guys, is like that night we went out, we met these guys, and it was myself, my friend Ivy. It was your friend. What's her name?
Yeah,
I'm not gonna say her name. I don't know if I have the consent to. but it was four girls. I think we had gone to that club below. It was below, what's this place? Brew Bistro. Oh, did we meet? No, we met them at Brew Bistro. And then we met these guys. One was like a 6'8" ginger guy with the highest, most Newcastle accent. I still don't understand that guy to today. And then there was I would say significantly shorter, half Filipino, half American guy. I'm not going to say their names. But anyway, we met them. It was vibes. They were cool peeps. They bought us drinks. You know, that time we were broke, man. We were going out to finesse drinks. Broke, single, and on the hunt, you know. And we met these cool guys.
No life. You're young. No life. You're single. You're hot. Exactly. You're just like, let me enjoy my life, man.
Exactly. You know, and I remember it was vibes. So anyway, we met these guys. It was a fun night. And I think I definitely took one of the guys' numbers. I'm not going to talk about why, but I did. And then, I don't know if it was me. Anyway, I took the guy's number and then we texted the next.
It was Ivy.
True.
Ivy, by the way, we are not chumming. We are not chumming your picture here. We're just facts are facts. We're just,
facts are facts. So, yeah, she got the number. And then the next day, Ivy messages like, yo, these guys are inviting us for a birthday party at their apartment. Are we down? And of course, I was 23.
Where were we?
We went to Mugoga.
Mugoga. No, and then we went to At Cafe first. We were at Cafe Oval.
Before we went to their house.
We were at Cafe Oval.
Why is At Cafe always the beginning of problems? Always the beginning of problems.
That place was so, it was such a vibe at that time. But we were at Cafe Oval, and then that's when I messaged Ivy being like, do you want to come for a birthday party? Then she's like, where are you? He's like, she's like, in Brookside. Then she's like, that's just down the road.
That's just here.
Yeah.
That's just down the road. Yeah. Oh, yes.
So she's like,
you're right.
I'm with my friends. We'll come over. We're just finishing something. Then we'll come. Okay, take it from there.
Okay.
We were told, do you want to come for, please, this is an important thing. Do you want to come for Raj's birthday?
Oh, yes. We were told you want to come for Raj's birthday. So we're just like, Raj, we have to go to Raj's birthday. Like, let's go. I mean, there's going to be good vibes. There's going to be alcohol.
Yeah.
There's going to be, it's just going to be banter. Food as well. So we are like, birthday party, let's go. Opportunities to meet some nice single men, the mandem. To meet the mandems, you know. Guys, 23 and free, what a time to be alive. This is pre-COVID. Oh, God. So anyway, we slap back our drinks, chop chop, we get in a cab and we head. Actually, I was driving or something stupid like that. Anyway, no, we're not going to talk about that. We got to the apartments and we're like, whoa. You know, like, we are like, my friends, where are we? Because we get to...
Oh, yeah. First of all, that place was swanky. It was a penthouse.
Penthouse.
A penthouse duplex. With a top floor and a...
There was a top and a bottom floor. We get there. Yeah. We arrive. There's no curtains in this place. There's no curtains. And I remember that's the first thing that stood out. And I was like, who the hell doesn't have any curtains?
That's very un-Kenyan, by the way.
That's like
Kenyans. We love our curtains.
Yeah, you have to hide. Dude,
normal.
You don't want people looking into your house. But anyway, so we get there. We're like, "Aye, cool. We're here, guys."
We
say
hi.
To
we
say
hi to the people. Then we are like, "So where's the birthday boy?
Oh, so where's Raj?" And so we're expecting that Raj is a lovely fellow brown brother, and the brown brother was a brown dog. The dog comes.
Yeah.
Raj was a dog. We were invited to a dog's birthday party, and I remember, he was like, and then I'm like, why are you whistling at a human like that? Like it's a dog. And sure enough, our brown friend called Raj was a dog, a Shenzi dog that they had found.
Oh my god!
And a psychopath dog as well. Like I don't. I remember we all looked at each other like, what the
We are standing at the entrance of this house and we are like, when the dog comes and the guy is like, here's the birthday boy, you know, and rubbing like, his head in between his ears. The four of us, you know, start looking at one another like,
what in the Caucasian lifestyle is happening here? Do you know?
Yeah, there was so, you know, I can't even understand, I can explain to you how we were in shock because we were like, what? This is a joke. Fuck me, I thought it was a joke.
You have to understand. No, you did. You were like,
serious.
I remember you were like, this must be a joke. This is, and I was like, dude,
this is a joke.
This is a joke. I've never been to a dog's birthday, but you know, maybe somewhere this is a Western concept and we're not familiar with such things. But I actually, funny story, I have a friend who I have a friend of mine who lives in Ghana who has a dog and she celebrates her dog's birthday. So I guess it's a thing. And no judgment at all, but yeah, it's quite interesting. Yeah, dogs have become part of our lives to that extent.
Let's put it that way.
It was culture shock. Very, very good choice of words.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
like, what?
Yeah. And then I remember the night was progressing and then we were outside on the balcony, I remember. And we were just... sorry. Drinks were flowing. And then I'm not sure who it was who said, you guys started like elbowing us, you know, like under the table. Like what? And then you're like, koi, 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 look down, look down, look down. And then I looked down. And one of these guys, when I tell you guys, I've never seen toes so further apart. Like, what the hell is going on? The toes were separate. This guy can't wear flip-flops. There's no way. And then you are like, why is there a Waiyaki highway between his big toe and his second toe? His toes were... they were like, dude, it was like the sea. It's like Moses had parted those toes and had and was literally.
That's exactly what it was like.
I have never seen like anything
like
that.
The Rift Valley between those
toes.
Dude,
it was exactly.
You were like, what? First of all, Sophie, first of all, we are there. We are like, we have been invited for a dog's birthday.
Let's start there.
So already we are like, even though we are trying to, broaden our horizons, this is too broad. We're like,
And then we just weren't ready.
Toes, we're like, eh.
We're like,
this
hold up.
Just too much. And in the midst of us laughing, the guys come out with a cake for the dog.
Yeah. Like,
it's a wrap. This
it's a wrap.
The most strange experience we have had.
Guys, this is an actual wrap.
That cake was only for the dog.
Yeah, and I think it was made of like ugali and bones and stuff. Like it was just for the dog.
Like something like that.
Are we gonna eat bone shredded ugali with some nice paraphernalia decoration?
But me, I would have thought that you know they would have made.
They'd
like,
also have a cake for
like the for the humans. But this was just a. I can't even believe I'm saying that. At a cake for the humans. But that's what I thought. Like, there would be a cake for the humans. And then, then the dog has his cake. And by then, there was a candle that was put there. We literally sang happy birthday to this dog.
Guys, it was the first.
This time, we are looking at this Rift Valley between this guy's toes. We are looking at this dog who is getting cake. But us, we're not getting cake. We are like, this is too broad.
This is fraud.
Too broad.
Yeah, I felt like we were defrauded. Honestly, I'm not gonna lie. But that was one of the most amusing nights of my life.
I have bad memory, but I still remember that day because it was so crazy. I was like, "What?"
It really was. But then
where's the birthday boy?
Yeah, where's the birthday boy? And like, here he is, and this dog shows up, prancing. Prancing down, you know, just some street dog that they had rehabilitated. By the way, the story of that, how they got that dog, is hilarious. It's crazy.
That's really
they
literally. Yeah, but that's crazy. Also really nice that they got a homeless dog.
Yeah,
but
and
honestly,
and,
we're not sparing it.
No, we were not sparing it. No,
there was just a lot of things that happened that party. We were like,
This is new. This is new. This is some Caucasian stuff. We're on some Caucasian thing here.
That's some white people shit, as guys like to say on Twitter.
Hey,
on TikTok.
Kristen, I have a Caucasian audience. I apologize for my cousin's uncultured
Sorry.
comments. It's jokes, guys. It's all banter. This
but
is
it was
all
shocking
banter.
Anyway, but it was still,
yeah.
You know, it. We got a good story out of it anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. Kristen, let's take a short break and then we'll be right back.
Well, I ain't sure, but I think this girl is dangerous, dangerous. Could she be on my mind? Last night was fabulous.
So, Kristen, very interested to know your wine pick. So, are you a red gal, a white gal, a bubbles girl, a sweet girl? Like, what is your go-to? What's your poison? Pick your poison.
My poison is definitely a Pinot Grigio. So I'm a white
girl.
Okay,
Pinot.
I love me the whites.
Whites. Come to Germany. You'll be a very happy woman. Guys, she said she's single. Listen up.
But anyway, I'm a Pinot Grigio lover. So right now I'm on a journey to discover interesting Pinot Grigios that I can find locally. And funny enough, it's not something you can find readily available like in a lot of liquor stores and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
or wines and spirits here.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to go looking for it. But yeah, that's what I'm really enjoying, especially when it's hot and it's chilled. Ah, chef's kiss.
I mean, like, so obviously, I think you already know my preference rather is red wine. I'm a sucker for red wine, and I've never really been into white wine. I think somehow the chemistry of white wine doesn't agree with me too much. But what I do have to say is that a good Pinot on a summer day with the sun in your face and the chilled, you know, when it's super, super, super cool. It's so crisp. There is something about it. Curious, is there any particular Pinot Grigio that you like, as in brand, that you're currently, that's in your bag right now?
So I don't know if I'm going to butcher the name. Is it Cielo?
Cielo. Yes, Cielo.
Yeah, Cielo.
I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. And that is so hard to find. Like, you go to the pantry. You have to go to very specific shops to get
it.
You don't just get it
anywhere.
It was
at the pantry. Yeah. They used to stock them in Carrefour.
Monty's.
They
yeah,
used to stock it at
anymore.
Carrefour. Yeah. Oh, shame. Shame. Because it's really good.
Yeah. It's really nice. And then the other day, I tried this one called, is it Minimalist? I think the
mm-hmm.
brand is called Minimalist.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. Yeah, so that's usually so. Now, when I don't get the Cielo one, I look for another one which is there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I try it,
mm-hmm.
and then I see
whether
I like it or not. So far, the Minimalist one is the one which has stuck out to me, being like,
mm-hmm.
okay, if I don't get the Cielo, I can buy this instead.
Yeah, and
yeah.
I don't know if you've ever tried the Pinot Grigio Blush, but it's also very nice. It's also very nice.
Really?
So it's like the yeah. So it's not quite a rosé. It's more like a it's still a white wine, but it has a pink tinge to it. Most people think it's a rosé, but it's a blush, and it's also really good. As I said, I'm not the biggest white wine drinker, but I'm going to actually bring you a wine that's from Austria. It's called Gelba Muscatella. And it is fantastic. It is a great white wine. It gets you drunk, but it's super
so that's the one
super
for
nice.
Like one glass only.
No. You don't think it's one glass only. You realize that when you're, you know, a few moments later. because it hits you like, you know, from the legs, guys. It's so
oh my god,
good.
It's like Tanqueray.
Oh my god, it's so good. It's such a, because it has floral, kind of a floral note.
Ah.
God, I sound so pretentious. It has like a floral, you know, somehow. It's true though. I'll bring it for you. Austrian wines are actually fantastic. And for like the Gelba Muscatella is like from Austria. And it's fantastic.
Oh.
I'll definitely bring one for you.
Oh yeah, I look forward to tasting it.
Yeah,
Now we are
they've got
trying to
some.
be like grown folk. Like, you see, at all the time you're going places, you're drinking gin. You know,
Man,
sometimes it doesn't
gin.
call for a gin,
Yeah, I mean,
or
gin,
whatever your
exactly.
poison is.
Gin is a different vibe. Gin is when you're ready for violence.
Shenanigans.
Yeah. When you wake up and
Yeah.
choose violence, drink gin.
Yeah.
But when
When you want
you.
to misbehave.
Yeah, but enough of the Gelba Muscatella will have you misbehaving. I can tell you that for free. Something I've realized, and maybe one day I'll do a review on Prosecco slash sparkling wines. Prosecco is my it's my demon drink. So if I drink enough of
Prosecco
it,
is to you what whiskey is to me.
yeah, my alter ego, Tiffany, because my alter ego is a white girl, wasted girl. She comes out and yeah, she definitely causes a bit of ruckus. So I stay away from Prosecco as much as I can. Except I can't help but have a mimosa. A mimosa is oof.
That's different. Like
Yeah.
it's yeah,
But
it's
I
not, you
don't.
know, it's different like when drinking Prosecco
Yeah.
like direct from the bottle, you know, like
Dude,
plain
I
Prosecco.
have. You know, like when you see, what do you call it? When you see, so like a dangerous, I don't know, like a when you want to hold a pole towards something, like keep it away. That's what I do with
Yeah.
Prosecco because I've realized that I don't like the person I become when I've had too much Prosecco. But anyway, let's take a
And that's
short
on that
break.
grown foot shake.
Exactly, and that's on God.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's take a break and then we'll get back into the episode. Ah, okay.
You.
Like, are you for real?
Exactly.
Now, Kristen, I think we've spoken a bit too much about our stories. This is the part of the podcast where we do a little fun question. So, I don't know if you know the game or the concept, Pick Your Poison. It's kind of like Would You Rather, right? So
Okay.
I've got a would you rather for you. And we're going to do it like this. So I'm going to give you the two scenarios and you're going to have to pick one of them. You don't have a choice. And then I would like you to explain why. And then we're just going to unpack that a bit, right? And then
Okay.
I'll answer mine, but I think I already know my answer. Plus this is about you. So okay, are you ready? So, pick your poison. Catch and eat a poisonous snake raw, or get your
Yeah.
brother addicted to meth. Which are you picking?
Oh man.
You know how long it took me to come up with this question? I was really thinking, what are the things that are going to make, what does she hate the most in this world? Snakes. What
And
is
I hate
something she
snakes.
loves the most in this world? Family. So I was like, let's see what we choose. And I want us to talk about the why. Because let's see. So I repeat it.
So I catch a
Pick your
poisonous snake.
poison.
Yeah.
Catch and eat a poisonous snake raw, or get your brother addicted to meth.
Wait, so I have to, so on top of eating
Have
it, I
to
also have to go
choose
look for
one.
it.
You have
I have
to
to
go
go look for
find
it
it
and
and
catch
eat
it.
it. Yeah, you go find it or eat it, or you get your brother addicted to meth. What are you choosing? This is a test of character. This is a test of who you are. Who are you, Kristen? Do you love your family enough to eat a snake raw? Catch
I'll get him
it.
addicted to meth because he can go to rehab. But if I eat a poisonous snake, it's done, man. It's done. It's over for me.
Over because you're not eating the poisonous part, but you're catching it. So the danger is really in catching it rather than eating it. You get what I mean? So
Okay.
for the
No.
audience, she
Man's is
said
going to
there's
rehab.
rehab.
Man's going to
Man's
rehab, man. Like,
that guy's going to
ain't doing
rehab
that.
strong. We can fix you. We can fix you. I
The chances
promise.
are of survival for meth rehab are very high, as opposed to me going to look for a poisonous snake, which I hate. I hate snakes. And then I'm going to look for
Kristen,
it first, and then I'm trying to catch it. It's a
yeah,
wrap.
but the relapse
Then I have to
of
eat it.
The relapse of meth, though, is crazy. Like, this is the most addictive drug in the world.
He has a strong constitution. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Oh, goodness Christ. Oh, help us. Oh, my God. I'm dying. Wow.
What about me? If I eat that name?
This is how much your fear of snakes that you would be willing. Man, his constitution is strong enough. That has killed me. That's crazy.
He'd be good. He might be rough there for a bit, but smooth sailing afterwards.
Smooth sailing. Yeah, we'll pray for you, brother. We'll pray for you because ain't nobody eating a snake. But to be honest, I would catch and eat the snake. I'm not getting my brother addicted to meth, man. I would never forgive myself. Yeah, there's no way I can get him addicted to meth. Like,
man, now you're making me sound like I'm a bad sister.
You are.
I'm picking the meth. Has a strong constitution. They'll be okay.
Meth. Meth is like the bowling ball of strong constitution. It's a strike, my friend. There's no strong constitution when it comes to being addicted to meth. Dude, that thing will reconstitute you rather than the other way around, you know? But yeah. And plus, to be honest, like, I'm not as scared of snakes as I am spiders. Now, there's this guy on Instagram who I accidentally scrolled by, and he was standing next to a spider that was literally the size of his torso. I don't know what.
Alien?
It's not even...
Was it in Australia? It was in Australia.
Yes. And that's why I'm never going to Australia. You heard me.
I don't know how those... You know, people say that continent is just trying to kill them because they have the weirdest animals. Like, everything is just trying to kill you there. Like, how do those people survive? It's crazy.
It's attempted murder. Everywhere you go, your life is under threat. But, So, people of the audience, she would rather get her brother addicted to meth than catch and eat a poisonous snake raw. So, that brings us to the conclusion of this episode today. Kristen, I can only express my gratitude for your time, for sharing these laughs, these wonderful stories, for the growth that we can see in the both of us, for our shared venture. And I really have enjoyed doing this. Really, really, this has been,
it's been
a fantastic way to spend my afternoon. Now, I want to give you a chance to plug in whatever is going on. Just tell us what's going on. What's going on with Nine Daughters? Where can we find you? Just do the whole spiel.
So, shameless plug. If you want to interact with us on our socials, you can look for Nine Daughters. Nine, the numeral, and then Daughters. On Instagram, on any Meta platform, you'll find us on Nine Daughters. We are soon to become active on TikTok, so look out for that as well. We also have our website, ninedaughters.com. But anyway, if you go to the Instagram page, you'll see the links from there, and you know, it will take you to our WhatsApp link and our website link. So the big word for this year for Nine Daughters is about pivoting. So we'll
hashtag
let that
pivot.
Marinate until it's hashtag pivot. We'll let that marinate until it's ready to be revealed. But yes, it's just about the big pivot this year. And what else? Look, please interact with our content. Let us know what you think. And if you check our stories, there's some, especially the Kenyan peeps who are here, go check out those stories because there are some deals which are going on through this month of February. And
hell yeah.
There's no girl who doesn't like a deal.
No, everyone likes a deal. Exactly.
So go check out those deals. So go and check them out. I'm sure you might find something that you like or something that you know somebody will like, one of these things. So, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Kristen. This has been fantastic. I'm looking forward to sharing more stories with you. Let's see how this podcast goes. I'm looking forward to our journey together as business owners. And yeah, again, thank you very much for this. And I wish you all the luck.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun revising or revisiting some of those stories which I had not thought about for in a long thought about
in a long time.
But it's been fun. Yeah. All the best with the podcast.
Thank you. I hope it continues appreciate
to grow.
Thank yes. you.
If you've enjoyed the journey, don't forget to raise your glass, leave a like, share your thoughts, let me know your favorite moment. Until next time, continue savoring the richness of life's mysteries. This is Sylvie signing off from Wine and Uncorked Chronicles. See you on the next episode.